There is only one kingdom of God. All of us are in that kingdom along with those who have gone on before us. That's what John saw on the island of... He was exiled to an island. Did you know that? How many of you ever saw the movie Papillon? Steve McQueen, Dustin Hoffman. It's a pretty old movie, but they were on an island that was a prison. And it was a terrible place. It was everyone for themselves. And it was cutthroat. I mean, people were out to get you. And that's where John was when he saw the vision. He saw the vision of the kingdom of heaven and said, the Lord took him up there and he showed him these things. This is what's going on right now, John. This is what's going, write this down. It's what's going on right now in the kingdom. And we attempt to, you know, in our own small way to duplicate that. To do what he saw in that heavenly kingdom. But I'm not going to talk about that. There's something else going on here today that I think is just so incredible. If you pay attention to the little thread that runs through the reading, it says Jesus was revealed to the disciples when he prepared food for them to eat. They knew who he was when he sat and he broke bread with them, gave them fish to eat. I mean, they thought up until that point that they had known him very well. But did you hear that? They said they dared not ask him who he was because they knew it was the Lord. Well, did they know or didn't they? You know, they dared not ask him. What happened was the disciples were doing what they did best before Jesus had called them to be disciples. Peter said, we've been waiting here a long time. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going fishing. And everybody's like, oh yeah, okay, we're with you, man. Let's go fishing. I mean, who doesn't like to go fishing? I love to go fishing. The disciples were going about their business, going fishing, and Jesus came and interrupted their lives and their work and their focus and said, what are you doing out there in the boat? Have you caught anything, by the way? No. Okay, well, throw the net on the other side and then come and eat with me. And so they threw the net on the other side. They dragged in so many fish. Normally it would have broke the net, but it didn't. He filled their nets and gave them what they were looking for. But before Jesus came along, they had caught nothing. Did you get that? Before Jesus came along that day, they had caught nothing. Their nets were empty, and they were unfulfilled. And what did Jesus do when they encountered him? He prepared a table before them all. He cooked some fish. He had some bread. And he was their servant. He cooked fish for them. He cooked fish and bread for them. He was their servant, showing them once again the value of servanthood. And he blessed the food. Did you know Jesus blessed the food? Did you know that when God cooks food, it's blessed? Of course it is, right? Jesus fixed them food. Can you imagine? That's one of the reasons we say thank you for our food when we sit down to eat together, because we believe that Jesus is there with us. I said, we believe Jesus is there with us. Amen? Amen. See, that's why you thank God for your food. Maybe the chef prepared it, but God gave the chef that gift and that talent. And God provides everything, including the next breath you take. You see, when God is present, there was fire and there was water and there was food to eat. Remember that. When God's present, there's fire and there's water and there's food to eat. And Peter, did you see what Peter did? As soon as they realized who this was cooking on the shore, what did he do? He got baptized all over again, didn't he? It said he jumped out of the boat and into the water. He put his cloak on and he jumped into the water. He plunged, it says, right into the water and made his way to the shore. Isn't that indicative of baptism? You see Jesus? You want to go see Jesus? Yes, I do. Be baptized now. Jump into that water. In this case, in our case, with our baptismal font, we pour water over their heads, and we're going to do that in a little while today. And Jesus said all of them, come and eat. Come on, it's me. It's the Lord. Come and eat. I've prepared food for you. Let me ask you a question. In your work and in your desperation and in your loneliness and in your fears and whenever you're looking for something, are you looking for him? Is he the one that you want to have come near you? You know that you don't have to wait for him. He's here now. He's here right now with us, and he will never leave or forsake us. Are you willing to plunge into that water? Are you willing to jump out of that boat and plunge into that water so you can go eat with Jesus? So you can go eat with Jesus? Yeah. It's a great story, isn't it? The disciples were getting a little desperate. Jesus said, go to Galilee and wait for me. And they were waiting. You know, they're getting a little like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, there they are out fishing, and Jesus is right there on the shore. Are you waiting for him? He's right there. Now, there's another story about a man in our reading today, a man who was bent on destruction. Do you know somebody like that? Does anybody know anybody that's evil and bent on destruction? I've run into a few people like that in my life. They weren't any fun to run into. And I didn't physically run into them, or I probably wouldn't be here. But I've known a few people in my life that were bent on destruction. Their lives were not good, and they had made it that way themselves. This man was doing the work of religion. His name was Saul. He was from a place called Tarsus. He was doing the work of religion, but listen now, when religion becomes duty and work, when religion becomes duty and work, it loses any resemblance to love. Saul of Tarsus was paid by the Jewish leaders to arrest and confine, and yes, sometimes even kill the Christians, these followers of Jesus Christ. He was paid to do that. The Jewish leaders of the day who were in charge of the temple were bent on destroying the followers of Christ. They were after them. And the Jewish rulers of that day of the synagogue found bounty hunters to go after the Christians. Go find them. We'll give you a few bucks. Bring them in. We're going to imprison these Christians. Go find him. Saul was one of them, and he was one of the best bounty hunters there were. He was good at his job. One day when he was riding a horse from one city to the next, he had gotten permission to go to the next town and arrest the Christians that he found. He's on his horse, and it said, and a bright flash came from heaven like lightning, and he fell off his horse. And Paul laid there on the ground, and a voice came to him and said, who are you looking for? Who are you after? And Saul said, who is that? And Jesus said, it's the Lord, the one that you're persecuting. Did you hear that? Jesus said, it's the Lord, the one that you're persecuting. But he didn't say it's all those people that you've arrested and put into prison. Because why? Because we are the body of Christ. Saul was persecuting the body of Christ, and Jesus said, that's me. Get that? That's me that you're persecuting, Saul. So he fell to the ground blinded, confused, and Jesus spoke to him while he was there on the ground. And Saul was humbled. He lost his sight. He couldn't see for 3 days, and he didn't eat or drink anything for that time. Then, after he'd had enough time to think about what had happened, God sent a man to anoint him, and he received his sight back. And it says, and he began immediately to preach Christ boldly to the people. He was knocked off his horse. He lost his vision. He fasted for 3 days. He received his vision back, and he immediately began to preach the risen Christ to the people around him. You see, Saul wasn't out there looking for Jesus. God gave him a new name and said, from now on, you're going to be called Paul. He found Jesus when he was seeking out Christians. Hello. When Paul was looking for Christians, he found Jesus. If somebody meets you, will they find Jesus? Maybe you're riding on a horse, a high horse, the horse of duty, or a horse of religion, or a horse of power and prestige. And the horse takes you wherever you want to go, and you're very comfortable on that horse. You go in style and in arrogance on the horse. You believe that you're doing just fine, thank you very much, going about destroying your own body and the other people around you. But be careful. God found Saul of Tarsus, and God can find you. And if need be, he'll interrupt your life with a bright flash of lightning, and he'll knock you off that horse. And he'll interrupt your focus and your work and everything that you're doing. That was Saul of Tarsus. So the disciples were in the boat, and they saw Jesus on the shore making a campfire and fixing them food. And Saul was on a horse, and he was riding out to destroy the Christian faith. And both of them encountered Jesus, the disciples and Saul, and their lives were changed forever. The disciples had already known the Lord, but this last time, this was the time now that they encountered him, and they needed to get some food, and they got some food, and he fed them. The disciples needed to get some food because they were hungry. They needed something to do and they liked to fish. Maybe they could sell some of the fish and get a few bucks. Fishing was what they knew how to do and they did it well. Just like Saul. Saul was good at his job. He was a bounty hunter. He'd gone out to hunt people down. He was going about his business. The disciples and Saul had their lives interrupted by the Lord. He called the disciples to go out into the world and tell the good news to everyone they met. He called Saul of Tarsus to go out into the world and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone he met. He calls you today to go out into the world and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone you meet. That's what Jesus does when you encounter him. That's what he does when he interrupts your life. And their lives were never the same. And I know people sitting here today who, after they met Jesus, their lives have never been the same. Because he saved their lives. And the third story today is about the disciple that Jesus loved. John refers to himself that way in his gospel that he wrote. The letter that John wrote to the church, he said, the disciple that Jesus loved. This disciple has been sentenced to an island, as I referred to earlier, the island of Patmos, a prison island. This was not Hawaii. Okay? This was a tough place to be. This was a terrible place to be. He was in prison. He was free to move around within that confined space, and it was everyone for themselves. And he, John, survived the longest of all the disciples of Jesus. And he was blessed by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you open the book of Revelation, at the very beginning of the book, it says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Please write this letter, John, to the churches. And so John wrote what we call today the book of Revelation. He wrote down what he saw going on in the kingdom of heaven. John wrote down what he saw right then going on in the kingdom of heaven. He saw what he said, what was going on always, forever, then and now. You see, John knew Jesus. He had walked and talked with him. He was one of the disciples. He was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. John was. Jesus gave John charge of his mother, Mary. John was on the Mount of Transfiguration when the sky opened and the cloud, and Jesus was standing there talking to Moses and Elijah. And he was there when Jesus rose from the dead. He was one of the disciples that ran to the tomb. And he was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. So John had been with Jesus, and now he was on this island writing a letter. And it said, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Did you know that you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is right here with us right now? Did you know that he who was with you lives in you? Did you know that when you're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit? That's where John was on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit. And it said, and the Lord took him into heaven and showed him what was going on. And he sees the people and the angels gathered around the throne. And Jesus sitting on the throne, in the midst of the throne. And he was worthy of their praise and honor. He was worthy of them singing songs and offering incense to in the kingdom of heaven. They said, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So we see three stories today about three different people who encountered Jesus in three different ways. John on the island of Patmos being taken up into the heavenlies. Jesus mighty and sitting on his throne, being exalted and honored by everybody. The disciples encountering the risen Christ in human form, sitting there at the shore cooking for them. And Saul of Tarsus, who encountered Jesus as a flashing light and a voice saying, why are you persecuting me? Which category do you fit into? Do you fit into one of these categories? Are you a prisoner to something or someone in your own body, free to move around and yet confined? Is something holding you in bondage? Maybe you're riding high upon the horse. Life has dealt you a good hand. You seem to be on the right path, doing everything right and making a few bucks while you're at it. Or maybe you know the Lord, but it's been a while since you've seen him or spoken to him, and you're kind of waiting, hoping that he'll answer you, hoping that he'll show up soon. So you've gone fishing or whatever it is that you know how to do best to escape and yet feel useful. Maybe make a few bucks while you're at it. Or maybe you don't fit into any of these categories. Maybe you have your stuff together and everything's fine, thank you very much. But for all of you, no matter who you are and where you fit in, I have some news. I have some good news for you. You can encounter Jesus Christ at any moment. Just look for him. Seek him with all your heart, and you'll find him. Knock on the door, and he'll open the door. And even better, when we break bread together, he'll be revealed to you today, here and now. And when we renew our baptismal vows together as a church during the baptism, that's where he is. He's in those vows. Look around. You want to see Jesus? Is he over on the shore? Is he flashing from the heavens? Is he sitting on the throne? Look around, because you can see him if you look hard enough in each other. I asked the guys if they wanted to go with me to Gay Haven last time I went there. Gay Haven is a convalescent care facility that takes care of some of the worst people, not worst people, people in worse physical shape. They really have some bad things going on in their bodies. And we as a church go to Gay Haven on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. We hold a little church service for them. And on the first Monday of each month, one of us clergy goes and gives them communion. And I wanted a couple of the guys to go with me last time that I went. And I even texted them and I said, you want to go to Gay Haven with me? They couldn't at that time, but you know why I wanted them to go? Because I wanted them to see the face of Jesus. Because see, he's right there in the least and the lost and the lonely. He's there in the one in the wheelchair who props himself up and has braces on his back and tries to get by every day. He's there in the one named Michelle who lays in her bed shaking all the time with muscular dystrophy. And as you look into her eyes, you're looking into the eyes of Jesus. You want to see the face of God? That's where it is, right there. Look around, because that's where you find him. See, the risen Christ is walking around on planet Earth in us, in the church. We're the ones who go out on his behalf, in his name, and reach out to a lost and dying world. That's what it's all about. That's what the church is all about. That's who we are. We're going out and we're going to affect our community in any way that we can. Why? Because we love them. Why? Because Jesus does, and he's in us. God so loved the world, it says. So we better go out and love the world too, and that's what we're up to. So remember this today in closing, that when you receive Christ, the body and blood of Christ today at the altar, when you come up here to receive the body and blood of Christ, you're receiving him with each other, sitting at a table. He sits at the shores of the water of your baptism, and he prepares a meal for you. The bread is his flesh, and the wine is his blood. And later on this morning, I will elevate the chalice of his blood and the ciborium of his body and proclaim to you these words. I will say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Happy. Why? Because we're all here together. We're eating at the same table. Jesus is here. He's on the shore cooking for us. He's got bread. And we're all going to line up and receive it together. And the newly baptized will be up here first. They're the first in line. So when that happens today, I have a question for you. Will you see him? Will you recognize him in the elements of the Eucharist? The real presence of Jesus Christ? I know it looks like a little wafer of bread, and it looks like a chalice of wine. But he said that's his body and blood. Not because we say it, but because he says it. So will you recognize him? And the next time you look for Jesus, as Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, I've learned to look no further than my own backyard. Look at each other. Look into the world. Look into the eyes of someone who's lost and lonely. Look out there, because that, you see, is what the church does, and that's where Jesus is. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And now instead of saying the creed like we normally would, because the creed is contained in the baptismal covenant, we're going to say the creed during the baptism. And so those big folders that are in your pews right there, you want to grab one of those and follow along.